Just beneath the surface, all around San Francisco Bay, lies a little-studied habitat realm known as the subtidal zone.
Everything from the mean high tide mark, which is where the water line on average comes up on the shoreline, all the way down to the deep benthos, so the bottom of the bay.
Natalie Cosentino Manning is a biologist and marine habitat restoration specialist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in Santa Rosa. She was also a researcher and co-author of the newly released San Francisco Bay Subtidal Habitat Goals Report, a joint project of NOAA, the Coastal Conservancy, and other agencies. This four-year survey of the bay's subtidal zones was the first such study of those areas, says Cosentino Manning, and the findings were mixed.
We know that in certain areas where perhaps eelgrass or native oysters can exist, they don't at this moment in time. And so in those particular areas, maybe we'd give it a D. But in other areas where some of these systems are functioning well, give it a B+. So it really depends on where you're looking around the bay.
One goal of the report is to identify areas where habitat restoration projects could boost those grades, adds Marilyn Latta, project manager for the Coastal Conservancy. She says expanded eelgrass plantings can bolster biodiversity beneath the surface.
They can form meadows, and that's a really good three-dimensional structure that provides habitat and cover and food resources for fish and birds and other species in the bay. By having that three-dimensional structure off the bottom of the eelgrass plants, that really enhances the resources for species like pipefish. Chinook salmon are connected to eelgrass, Dungeness crab. Even commercial species like Pacific herring will lay their eggs on eelgrass blades.
The same sort of benefits, with a different array of species, derives from restoring or expanding beds of native oysters.
The shells actually are an attractive place for various invertebrates, shrimps, crabs, clams, other species to attach to and live in. And that then starts to benefit all the way up the food chain.
A third subtidal habitat, and one of the most prevalent in much of San Francisco Bay, is mudflats.
Mudflats and just soft mud is an important habitat. There's a lot of invertebrates living in the mud, and shorebirds and sturgeon and fish, and many species will feed in mudflats.
The difficulty there, Latta notes, is that contaminants bind readily to the small particles that make up the mud. Fortunately, there's a lot of it. In fact, advises Latta, most of the bay's broad expanse doesn't cover much depth.
When we look out there, you think it's hundreds of meters deep, but actually the average depth of the bay is about 14 feet.
But for the undersea life there, that shallowness is a good thing.
That's usually warmer water, and the most important thing is that's where more light can penetrate the shallows. So for something like eelgrass, we don't actually know the deepest depths that they can occur, but they're more up in intertidal and shallow subtidal zone because they're light dependent in order to photosynthesize and grow.
This was the second in a series of three planned studies of the environmental zones around the bay. The first looked at marshes and wetlands. Next up, the habitat just above the high water line. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB.